not positive enough, considering what perhaps the financial makers might be. So that I think that it's important that we continue to look forward more so than back, and that we try to plan again, maybe for another 2 year plans or whatever we're thinking, whether the 2 year plan involves keeping the golf course, the 2 year plan involves changing. But I think we need to look at what we saw as potential improvements and whether that would really turn out well, and so on. And rather than say, well, rather than go back even 2 years beyond behind and say, well, it wasn't good then, it's still not good now, I think we need to see and recognize what the positives and what's probably going to happen or not.
I wanted to say something. I wasn't here 2 years ago for this meeting, but I just want to say something as an observer, that at the time, I do recall, leading up to it, there had been contention about what were the true numbers. And I did notice that after the committee meeting, it seemed like the numbers were aired, and it was as if a lot of the frustration, I believe I mentioned this to Mayor Beattie a little while back, it was as if a lot of frustration was pent up, it kind of helped a lot of it dissipate. It doesn't necessarily mean that everybody agreed on where we should go going forward, but at least everybody was able to agree where are we. And so I noticed that once the city as a whole, once the city is able to come to this consensus, this is where we are. A lot of the frustrations I felt would just dissipate amongst my neighbors and others because people weren't arguing about where we were.
Can I add to this? Let's recognize first, tell me who you are because you're new to the committee as well.
Chandler, I'm the assistant city manager, city planner.
Awesome. And I would say, I would hope as this committee, I think we were able to do, especially by the end, is to change some of the language that's used. I mean, I think there's been some frustration for those who felt like the golf course has been just a burden for the city. It's just been a drag on the city, a burden, that there were cheerleaders for the golf course, that at every turn, they were defending it over and over and over again, and in a Pollyannish kind of way, you know, irregardless of what the numbers said or what the facts said. And that was enormously frustrating to a certain group of people. And on the other side, there's like, you know, failed this, and, you know, this really harsh rhetoric on the other side. It doesn't take a city government situation into consideration. It doesn't consider, you know, we have a failed baseball tournament, complete failure, you know, total failure. It doesn't make any money at all. And, you know, things like that. When the language on one side becomes so harsh and on the other side becomes harsh, and I was hoping on the committee that if we could make an effort on both sides, I think, to just use professional language, and that would be better. So I think we come up again with what you're talking about. Real information is absolutely accurate, and let the chips fall where they may, right? Whatever we decide, the chips are out there, but I would hope that we could somehow just curb some of the rhetoric that gets pretty.
I'd like to add one thing to you. I know I was comfortable that the big bad final cost per year number was presented. I know that some people in the city, mostly Kim Komar, was unhappy that from the beginning it wasn't presented.
Still has never been published.
That's something that he has
10 years has never been published.
Been unhappy about us as far as getting to what total amount of money is being there. But I will say that, you know, before we had these meetings and such, it was being said it was 15 million by one group and 5 million before we put it into an operational problem for us. Since one group was saying, well, we invested 5 million and lost it. But in the end, it came to, we had put close to 5 million in, and 5 or 6 million in, and we had invested.
Does this address Priscilla's comment, though? Do we as a committee want to go back and excavate that nonsense?
No, I'm just saying. You know, the facts were that it was 5 or 6 million originally put in, but since that time, more money put in, they put us up about 10 million before the building was built. And so that ended up being kind of the middle of the road between the two groups of saying. So I thought it was a very good exercise, and at least we put that in there too. The number was saying 15 million, one was saying 5 million, came right in the middle of the two, and I think that wasn't good. Compromising number, you think it was accurate?
Right,
it was a good compromising number.
Is there any chance this committee will actually publish the vendor?
Are we taking comments from the public on this committee as well?
It's up to you, Mr. Chairman.
I mean, that's fine. I can do that, but as long as it doesn't get to be out of control. To be honest,
it's not on the agenda.
Yeah, I like I say, that's a fine question, and let's keep it at that. But tell me that one more time. Are you planning on publishing?
For years, we've been asking the city council to publish the full running year-by-year losses taxpayer subsidy, so the citizens can know. Every year we get a state of the city report, and the one of the most significant items is the golf course.
Okay.
And it never is reported.
That, like,
it's never been reported.
That's the last.
Until it's reported.
That's the last we're gonna have. If we keep coming from the office, you're gonna have to go. That's done. All right, Tim, well, answer this one question. Just, I would say this. We'll publish everything, but it's a market thing, right? We have to market anything. I mean, we can publish and get it out there, but it depends. You can get to a point where you say, you know, unless you build a billboard, you know, and throw it out all the time, everything will be published. And everything was published on the last one. I mean, there wasn't any information that didn't come out. And we can certainly dig it up, and I would say the city council, the mayor, and interested parties should have access to that information as early and as often as they can. But as far as this committee, I don't feel any motivation to market this, to, you know, to send out a mailing or, you know, anything like that. There's lots of interested people that can do that on their own, right?
That's right.
And also, public's been invited to observe, so it's not going to be invited.
Right.
No, and I actually appreciate this more now, because I hope that when we are done, that this gets put to bed one way or another. I've heard every argument for 15 years. What I want to do, like Priscilla, I want to take what has happened over the last 2 years and look at the trends and look where we're headed. We spent a lot of time 2 years ago going through all of this stuff. And
this is the one quote.
And I want to be looking forward. And however, like Rick said, let the chips fall where they may, but let's look forward, because I am tired of looking.
If the debate turns to an autopsy of something that happened a decade ago, then that's, people can do that all they want.
I'm interested in what's good for the city.
Does that sum up the side that says, and I'm going to say, and anybody here, as best as we can understand, is there something more that you think we need to understand as far as those who are frustrated about the golf course? It's losing money every year. There's a lot that's been said about it, and we understand it pretty well. You say, is there enough said about those who are frustrated at the idea of having to combat this every year and the worry of having their city just dramatically altered in a very serious way and their way of life, their standard? I don't think that's been discussed enough. We spend a lot of time on the other. Rob? Want to start with that, too?
I just want to say I don't want to have to fire you every year either. I hope that this is kind of a very thorough, nothing's held back, so that I personally, if we invest everything thoroughly, I don't want to talk about this. I want us to look at it and say, just be with everything and come to a final decision of whether we're going to go out. I personally want to after this run.
Well, and I would just ask that any information that comes out of this meeting, until it is fully vetted and goes out to the public the right way, it's not put on Facebook. So, I'm not on Facebook, but I've gone in through my wife's and I've read every comment that's been posted about Dollywoods. Every single one.
That's a lot
of reading. There's a lot of reading.
That's right.
258 on one. And I'm tired of seeing things. I think it's important that the public, they can have that discourse back and forth, but when things are put out there that haven't been vetted by this committee, I don't want to see that. And so I would just ask that as a conversation.
I've got a concern about that. So my concern is, you see how many people are here? There's, maybe 22 people, and most of them have a title to the city, so they're going to talk about this anyway. Part of being open to me is putting things out there so that everyone knows what's being discussed and what's in the process. So if no one against us, oh, just a private group that got together and things like that. So that's why I think so.
I was very careful about how I stated that, though. The numbers that are put out, until they're vetted and again are agreed upon. For example, you threw out comments regarding free golf and the passes and this and that. And it wasn't until yesterday that I saw Charles' response about, or whoever it came from, in regards to what was accurate. But things were thrown out.
Did I say something inaccurate?
As far as the numbers of frequently, you had no idea.
Oh, resident golf numbers.
Yeah, or free golf that has been given out. So I'm just saying there are some things that are put out there that don't need to be put out there.
Mostly what I put out was.
And this has been a problem that has been consistent. I'm not going to, Rob, I'm not going to pound on you on this. Right. You spent a lot of time and energy on this.
Right.
And this is important. But it's been happening for not just with Rob, but for years. We've been dealing with numbers. I've been looking through some of the old golf course records before, and you know, we're dealing with numbers that are wrong all the time and accusations that are absolutely embarrassing, to be honest, like embarrassing accusations, and they're made publicly and they're made open. And you know, if you understand how government accounting is done, it's a simple math, and we have experts that do that, but others who don't, it just becomes a function of, I don't know, a cottage meeting and anger, and then it gets thrown out there. And
I tried
and someone who doesn't understand low information, who just says, oh yeah, boy, that is wrong. You know, it gets people upset.
Well, I try to only do information that I've proven to myself is accurate, and then I'd like to put it out there, because if it's wrong, I want to know. I want someone to tell me. But this is
the place to do that, the discourse back and forth is fine. I think it's important. But you got to put out accurate information first, and that needs to come through this.
Now I'm highly interested to know if I did put something out there that was inaccurate, because I'll change my tune. Well, I won't stand by that.
Let's say there is something inaccurate. There's going to be something inaccurate for sure. There's no question about it. I can tell you right now we're going to go over some things, and we'll find, at the very least, there's speculation.
Right.
I will never put out a number anywhere that this committee hasn't agreed upon and that isn't right. Never.
Maybe I should rephrase it. Maybe it's not inaccurate. Maybe it is speculative.
Okay.
It is. And, you know, you can say, oh, well, I think it's going to cost this much for this, or I think it's going to be this much for this, or this is how much money we're going to save doing this. And none of those numbers are accurate. They're just good guesses, and that's fine. But the problem of it is I can think of thousands of people who look at those numbers and say, finally, you know, that feeling down here that's really not right. And we don't, until we actually know everything and it's exact, I think every number that we all want to see, we're going to get out. Right. It's just, I think, anyway, I'm never going to do it. That's all it's good. I'm never going to post. I'm never going to do it. I hope nobody does.
When you have to come up with a proposal, which is what I feel like I need to do, I feel like if we're going to make the best decision on the golf course, we have to have the decision to move forward as we are, or we have to have another alternative. To have another alternative, you have to go through. I'm not a genius. My wife has mentioned that on Facebook recently. I'm not a genius, but
you just play one on Facebook.
No, thank you for that. Yeah. No, I'm not a genius, but I have to put to formulate an option number two. You have to think through a lot of things that you're not an expert on, and you have to, if I only rely on myself, it's not going to be a very good proposal. So I have to at least bounce things off of people, and I don't have a committee outside this committee that meets together and says, hey, let's formulate a good opinion.
But Rob,
so the only place I can go is to Facebook.
Because you're on the city council and because you're on the golf course finance committee, it isn't just a person speculating. You know, there's lots of people that could put all kinds of information out, and you did it before.
Right.
I mean, you did it long before in the committee, and there's a lot of discussion about that. And that, I think, was more appropriate. But I think once you become a city council member and once you get on the golf course finance committee, I think it adds weight to what you say. And I've read the comments, not all, as many as I could stand, and they're not really comments of, well, no, I think this is a better number here. It's mostly just, or yay, you know? That's really what it is.
Right.
So you're giving some people really excited and some people just really scared and frustrated, but there isn't a big constructive conversation going on.
True.
They're accepting those numbers as they are. And if it didn't carry the weight of the Golf Course Finance Committee or the City Council, I would just say, post away, brother.
Right.
All day long, every day. But that's me. So I don't know. You're going to have to make that decision. It's a free country.
Now that, you know, I probably will post my final information that I gave to the committee today. I'll probably post that and say, here's the best I can come up with. It's probably not great, but it's the best I can come up with as plan B. If anyone can improve upon it, great. And then we'll have two things to compare. And then I will personally feel like we've had two choices we've decided between. But I won't feel that way with my proposal. I won't feel that way if people have added to it and made it better. So I'm hoping that people can make it better.
We'll do our best. And I'll say, we're going to go through your initial post. But since then, there's been blah, 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 blah. And the last thing I want to do is sit here and debate a Facebook post even once, let alone every week going forward. So I don't know. At some point, I would like it just to be, all right, we'll be fast. If we can move forward, we can be fast. And I think we won't quit until everybody gets what we're looking for.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Well, I would say please reconsider. Anybody else agree with that? Reconsider the Facebook posts? You say what you're going to say. Anybody else have a comment about that? All right. I would say this. We, as talking about citizens who are concerned about closing the golf course, there's been some criticism of this committee that it does not include anyone from the Cedars.
and that their lives are integral, just very connected.
I thought Mr. Augustus lived in the city.
Does Trent live there?
Trent just texted me and said he's not going to be here in the early part of the meeting. He may be here late, but he definitely lives in the Cedars, and Greg does too.
Okay. Because to them, it's not just theory. It's not just not fiscal conservatism or whatever you want to call it. It really affects, you know, affects what happens outside their front door. So it's a big deal for them. I want to make sure they feel like they're covered, and you guys will make sure that your points are, you know, that you feel like your cases are being made.
Sure.
Good. I like to hear it. Okay. All right. What is the purpose of this committee then? Anybody want to take a stab at what we'd like to accomplish at the end of this thing? One, I'd like to really know. I think we need to reiterate the numbers that we had from the last committee. I think we need to get, and then see a state of the union, right, from what we ended up with at the end, without going crazy on that. We really, the number, and this, you know, we can publish those information again. I think if we feel like that has not been published or isn't out there enough, I think we can find that data again and find a way to post it if we, you know, to get that out. But really, I'd like to know myself what's happened since we last met and where we are today, which is what we've got Charles on the agenda to help us move down that road. Is that right?
Yes.
I'd like to hear that. Okay, well, get it working. Any other purposes? The purpose also of the committee is to look at what we can and can't do with the golf course property. Isn't that just the next thing? You can have all kinds of desires and hopes and dreams for what we can do with the golf course. So we really need to look reality of what it is, what land we can use, what land we can't use. If you were going to close down the golf course, what can you actually do? What can't you do?
I would say one thing about that, though.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we might even be getting the cart ahead of the horse. We need a legal opinion first and foremost before we can even know what to go with.
I think that's part of the process, I think.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to call that. Yeah, what I don't want to do, and we've said this before, remember, if we all remember, we had those, the land where we have the Walmart on right now, and the land that they're building the dollar store, we're all excited about that, on the other land. On those two properties, there was a plan set out, and I'm assuming it was by either a planning commission, was it, or a city council, do you remember that? And it had, you know, walking paths and awesome little shops and all these little things all designed, and they were nice, and I know there were people who would look at that when they were selling homes and say, and this is what, you know, what's going to happen here on these two great pieces of commercial property. And the reality is that unless you're a developer that's going to buy that land and do that, it was just a pipe dream. So I do want to say that I don't want to ever put out something like that. I don't want to put something out that says, here's all the awesome things we can dream up that we have no control over. We do have control over, the city has control over parks. You can do that, but you have no control over very little control, I should say, over the other type of building that happens, or we'll see what control we do have. But I don't want to speculate on that, other than to say, let's see what the positive. Are we all agreed with that?
You can zone for what you want. Oh, go ahead. So.
Well, I also feel that the main objective of this committee, kind of as we discussed last time we met, should be that after we have analyzed everything, all the data, and all the potential possibilities and so on, that we should come up with a firm proposal that we make to the city council. That obviously is up to them. This has no binding effect one way or the other. But I think that we need to come up with something conclusive as to what we think is the best outcome for that property, whether it's to retain the golf course or not.
For sure.
If not, then whatever the alternate is. But I think that we need to come up with something concrete that would give us a recommendation and our reasons.
We can certainly have a vote at the end, and that makes sense to me too as well. Okay. All right. Well, should we just dig in then? Get started? Charles, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Golf course 2014-2015. Were you planning on going previous to that at all?
I'll explain.
You just do what you want to do.
I'll do what I do. I picked the wrong date to get my lunch, so. Okay. What I first want to do is give an overall picture of all the programs, community services that the city puts on and the various subsidies. So, or how they do, some of them have surpluses. So, our family festival for this last year, was subsidized $14,500. City council, $2,000, not including the staff. Library reimbursement, $11,000. Concerts, $6,000. between that subsidized $21,700 and then classes that are in this building have a surplus of $7,200 and events that are in this building have a surplus of $92,000. So this building is positive $100,000 so far. These are unaudited numbers, so these are preliminary, but we're in the ballpark of where they'll end up. Parks, we subsidized $149,000. That does not include labor that we use to clean bathrooms or do vandalism repair. This year, golf is $101,000 better than what the plan subsidy was. And we have $19,000 left in our golf debt service fund after the that we can apply to the future debt. I just wanted to kind of give a big picture. Is this an improvement from prior years? If you look at last year, events was $38,000 instead of $92,000. Recreation was $27,000. Fitness was $165,000. So, yes, this is a substantial improvement for this building. Our golf beat expectations by $58,000 last year, so this year was even better. So that's kind of a big picture, because sometimes when you look at these things, I'm also going to quickly just kind of give you what the market is in our area. Foxhall is the closest golf course. And so what is a reasonable expectation for a cost to a course? Do we have, whether or not we want to pay for that is one thing, but do we have reasonable expectations of what that is? So if you look at 2012, they had an operational deficit of 193, and that does not include the debt service. It's not Pleasant Grove's budget document. So Pleasant Grove's portion, there's three cities that contribute, was $213,000. So
that's just one of the three cities. Are they splitting that by population, do you know? Or do they split that just equally among the three cities?
It looks, well, it's right there. It looks pretty close to one third of the total.
Oh, there's the total there. Okay, yeah.
640. So that was a couple years ago. So how did they projected a net loss of 217? So how did they do on the next? So they actually lost $479 next year. And they budgeted that they in 2014 would only lose $316 and they asked each city for $240 or $240. So that kind of gives you an idea of the
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
That's just from operations, right? That doesn't include any debt service that they may have.
On the bottom, that's debt service. On the top, that's just operations. So now let's look at our course. Our operational deficit in 2013 was 190. That includes $38,000 for a used rough lawn. In 2014, it went up to $144,000. Now, something to keep in mind which I sent an email earlier, is the success of events, which you could see in the prior statistics, meant that people were booking weddings for every weekend in the summer before we had any tournaments in the summer of 2014. We didn't anticipate the success of this building to be the demand to be so high at first. In 2015, we were able to block out times from till 3 p.m. So people that want to do a wedding on a weekend now generally have to start at 3 p.m. And so that hurt our revenues. Our tournaments are from this Greenpeace number. And so that was one reason for that. We spent $47,000 for driving range repairs. And also, I think, Green's roller. So, in 2015, this current year, we are purchasing our equipment out of the motor pool fund. So, a portion is being allocated to material supplies and services based on its life. I didn't do that for the maintenance shed, but I added an increase. If you look at the projections, I added 4% increase cover the planned capital purchases for my equipment. And so what we're looking at this year, currently at our numbers, our operational subsidy is $39,000. That will probably go up a little bit. It's still not a finalized audit number, but I don't. But as you can see, that's substantial improvement from last couple of years, and it's way better than most courses do.
Do you know, Charles, in the numbers from Fox Hollow, did they include any events? Do they have a separate line item? Like here, we have a line item for our events, which were up.
Yeah.
And then did they include events in that number? Did they? Because the cities had to subsidize.
Yeah,
but did they get any money for events?
Let me go back. Let's see. So yes, they do, and they don't do nearly as well. I mean, our view and our staff do a great job. So where Fox Hollow does better than us is on their driving range. They have a nice big driving range.
Yeah, they would.
And if you look at their passes, they do better on their passes. Greenpeace, though, combined golf cart rental with Greenpeace, that's similar to us. They combine their events with their concessions. If you look at the prior year, it was around $60,000 for concessions, so they only get about $30,000 from events versus we got $250,000. So our staff's really good.
Yeah. And I'm gonna have to. Can I add here as well that without the golf course, I don't think Fox Hollow would have had any events, if any, many at all, connected to it. And I think it would affect, without the golf course, it would affect our events as well.
Well, I think it's important to point out, too, that 2 years ago when we met, as we were discussing ways to improve the course, we talked about this building that had recently been built. I don't know when it opened, but we knew then that the rec center / pro shop was going to help golf, and that golf was going to help with the events, and I think that's playing out.
Well, it's blown it away. Because you're still moving, we're still coming back, but if you're taking the golf course revenue and the events revenue together, what are we left with? What are we up? It's a positive number at that point.
Yeah,
right?
This year it's about $50,000.
We expected no positive.
Yeah, I think
time.
You told us 80
now,
at the last meeting.
That's operationally.
Right.
So we add debt to that then.
Right.
Debt, in which we can talk about debt.
Yeah.
But strictly the revenue. Because on the Fox Hollow numbers, their debt is huge. Because I know they did, what, a $13 million renovation? And I can't even imagine what their debt service would be. It'd be gigantic. What's our debt? What's our debt left? Well, we'll get to that. Sorry. Go ahead, Charlie.
So, as a city, we don't budget aggressively. We're super conservative. So, we budgeted about a 2% increase from our original numbers. Now, you'll see there's trades in here, and we don't budget for trades. We budget adjust as the trades happen. So if you, our actual numbers before trades are about 2% lower than this. But we also, when we do a trade, the expenditures increase by the same amount. So it's a wash. We budgeted 160,000 for operations and then 300,000 for the maintenance shed, but the latest that I've heard of the maintenance shed is probably going to be more than 300 in proportion. So I put in. And originally we got a bid for a metal shed around 210 just for the building, and it was thought that we could get a cheaper bid doing a stick structure. So far,
where would the maintenance shed go? Down in the wash area? It wouldn't go up by the event center.
The end of the driving range.
Right across from the park there.
So I think that's something the city council should consider, what you want there, to whether you want it to be a stick shed or a metal building, or whether you want something that adds to the beauty of the city, but that's not for us to decide.
Yeah, so a stick one would look a little nicer. So after that, in 2017, at the subsidy, what I have the revenue stream is going up 2% a year, and I have most of this. I have the salaries and wages and the materials and supplies going between 2-4%. And that's just being conservative because when Wade and Brian started, they inherited a lot of old used equipment. So this last year we came up with an equipment replacement plan to try to phase in replacement equipment for the next 8 years. So we're trying to get a couple items every couple years and phase that in slowly so that we're not stuck with broken equipment. So I have operating subsidy, going up to maybe 200 to 20 by 2021 if that terminal is down. That's way far out there, and I don't know what revenue is going to be like. I don't know how much inflation is going to be, but it's just a placeholder for now. And I think Rob was estimating about 200,000 a year for 20 years. I don't know if that was unreasonable or anything. I think the cost of golf course operationally, you should expect, when you're looking at those courses, especially a few years ago, the state auditor a couple of years ago said, every city has to charge its parks, buildings, golf courses, whatever it is, for water, electric, whatever. And if you look at other cities like Payson, Springville, they own their own utilities, Provo. They weren't really charging much for electric, they weren't really charging much for water or anything. And so you might have saw some years where they broke even. And it's really going to be hard, honestly, to necessarily break even. Your best best chances on those years you don't have those capital purchases or equipment purchases. I think our staff does very competitive with any golf course in the valley, and they do an excellent job of mitigating increases. But I think to be realistic, you have to say that there is a cost to this asset that we have.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So I would say if you're going to look at this in some kind of a summary, you're going to say we've looked at some costs that for maintenance that are offset by golf fees, they're offset by other events we have, and some of the larger numbers we have are really going to be to service some of the equipment that we have to buy. And that's where there's some fluctuation. So it's hard for us to say, well, these numbers are going to always be steady and clear and straight, because some years we're going to have to buy a green, you know, a mower, whatever we have to buy. All right. But as... Yeah. No, you're better.
I was just thinking another it's going to fluctuate and vary will of course be the economy over time. And in times of economic boom, I imagine we'll see an uptick to the use of the golf course. And in years where we have economic lean times, the golf course will definitely take a hit. So that's another thing that's very difficult to plan for, because it's difficult to forecast 2 years, 4 years, whatever from now. How is the economy going? Because the economy is definitely going to also impact revenue generation.
It's true. I would have to say, but as a golf course, can I ask this question then? If you take this as a public golf course and compare it to other public golf courses, as many as you're able to look at, compared to them, it seems like this golf course is doing better than most, and it's being run very well. Would you say that? So it isn't a disaster as far as from a just, it just public golf courses, you like them or you don't. You want to pay for them or you don't. But this one is not being run into the ground.
It's being managed well.
It's being managed well. And it's bringing in customers and revenue.
Okay, so, Charles, this is because I'm always the remedial person in the group here. So what you're indicating is that every year going forward, you believe that we will be a negative $200,000 approximately to maintain the course?
I think that is safe. I think that's a safe way.
That's kind of where you're going with that. And you don't feel like, because of the expenditures that have to come and those types of things, the events, whatever it is not going to compensate. But that just is the cost of doing business is about $200,000 a year for us to maintain it. Is that kind of where we're going with that?
Events could change that.
Events definitely offsets that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at $100,000, about $90,000 to $100,000 a year. You don't know what the tip of events is because it's so new, and we don't know how bad a recession will affect it. But word of mouth and staffing, it's continually increasing. So there hasn't. We haven't reached a road yet.
We're talking 200 with golf without the facility.
That's my question. That's 200 strictly golf, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't include the
events.
Okay.
So there's 50,000 or so. There's a 50,000 or so net gain from the facility that you could use that we're offsetting, really. So the number is it could be deceptively high if you look at it and say it's 200,000. You really need to consider that it's one entity. It's really going to drop back at least 50,000.
It really depends on your point of view, but yeah, if you look at it as a whole thing, it's around 100-150 a year versus. But if you're trying to isolate things, then.
Mr. Chairman, can I say something?
Yeah, please.
What I've learned through all this that I've been doing is I've probably spent more time researching this than probably anybody. Is that Cedar Hill's situation has really been a communications issue, is that I don't think our golf course is financially unique. Because when I've talked with a lot of local cities that own golf courses, but it doesn't matter whether it's a golf course or whether it's a rec center or whether it's a cemetery or whether it's a library or a civic center, they all lose money. All of them. And so, you know, in hindsight, I think that the city would have been wiser to come and say, look, we're thinking about someone wants to build a golf course. We could also build a rec center. But you're going to subsidize both.
Yeah, the parks that are being, we talked about here are going to come with at least the same amount of subsidy.
Right, and so,
at least.
So I just think that the city was never negligent financially. There was, in terms of misconduct in terms of their financials. I found the numbers to be accurate. I found the communication and the messaging to be wrong. And so when they hired a consultant, and I believe that consultant to be honest, but he said that the golf course could at some point make $150,000 a year in profit. The fact is he's just been wrong. Not dishonest, he's just been wrong. And so, you know, the thing that I hope we learn through this process is that, well, I think we're already communicating better as a city, but I hope that we can, that all the residents can become better educated in terms of these things, because they all lose money. None of them make money.
And I've had people talk to me, especially some of the older citizens, who believe, and they really believe this in all honesty, that if we just turn the key off to the golf course, if we just go and turn it off, hundreds of thousands of dollars will come flooding back into the city, which just isn't true, which we'll have to go through in detail.
I wanted to touch on one of the points that the mayor made, which is, yes, there are costs associated with these various things, whether it's a library, a cemetery, et cetera. One of the differences, though, that I know that, you know, speaking with neighbors and others, one of the concerns is, for example, parks. I have a beautiful trail not far from my house. A beautiful trail. We love to walk on it, and I know that my tax dollars are going to pay for it, etc. The nice thing is my tax dollars are going to pay for it. I can go use it with my kids all the time. I have to pay extra money to go on a golf course.
And I think so, that's the key.
I'm just saying that's one of the key differences that a lot of people mentally are digesting, which is, yes, the golf course is being managed very well as far as the golf course is going. But at the same time, the general public, the general just use, the access to it is not the same. Because it would be for some of these other things that also would probably cost similar amounts.
Yeah, I think you're right about it. And that's why I said that in my example, whether you have a rec center or whether you have a cemetery, library, city
park,
center, golf course, those are all going to lose money. Because if you go to any of those places, you're going to pay an extra fee to buy a cemetery plot or to go into the recreation center like at American Fork, where my family goes a lot. You either pay an annual fee or you pay a fee when you go in the door. And so I think all of those, and if you go to a library, then you could be paying a library fee in order to go to the library, right? I know that's what happens with Pleasant Grove. So all of those things, you pay an additional fee as opposed to parks and trails. But in my opinion, for whatever it's worth, I think they all lose money. And then it's just up to the residents to decide whether they think it's going to enhance the quality of their life, whether they think it's going to increase property values. And if they do, then they go into that.
Can I make a few comments real quick?
Please, go, brother.
Okay, first of all, Mayor Geege is absolutely right. It is up to the residents to decide in the end. I think that's the key, and I like that he said that. Second of all, I would put our staff, not only the golf staff, but our total city staff up against any staff in the entire county. I think they're amazing. I think the golf course staff has done an amazing job. Wade especially, bringing in a bunch of new tournaments in the last couple of years. So I can't say enough good about how hard they're working and what good they're doing. And I will always feel that way about them because I've seen the improvements since they've been there. Another thing that I want to bring up is in business, cash is king. People have heard that in business, right? Cash is king. You can have any numbers reported. You can play with numbers, not that we do. I think Cheryl does an amazing job. He's accurate 100%. But what you present can give off multiple different perspectives. Like if I said right now we invested $506,000 in that same time period last year, I think everyone, if I said that on Facebook, everyone would say I'm crazy. No, he just showed that we lost $40,000 and made it up with the rec center. It's all in the presentation. We actually, as a city, invested $358,670 towards the golf service debt in that same time period, and we supplemented $147,000 from other funds to keep the golf course running, which is a total of $506,000. And so, you know, if I just presented that to you and left off the other part, that would be one side saying this is the cash that was put into it this past year. But the presentation as that just happened, I think everyone would go around saying, hey, it's making money. We're in the green. We're doing great. And so it's all in the presentation. But to me, I believe cash is king. I believe you follow the cash and you know what it's actually costing. And my analysis that I put on Facebook was that we are budgeting for an infusion of $800,000 into the golf course in 2016, this next year. But the fact is we put $506,000 into it this year that is barely ended. And so I know where a lot of that difference is between the $40,000 loss that was just presented and the $506,000. Most of that is in the debt service, paying off the original debt of the golf course, and that's still cash going into that each year from our property taxes. But what I don't know right now, and because they haven't been audited, the numbers haven't been audited, I haven't had a chance to really delve into them yet, and I'm sure Charles and I will get into that. I don't know the difference between the $40,000 loss and the $147,000 that we're showing we had to invest into it. Do you know off the top of your head the difference between that?
What's the difference between those? So when we budget at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. we have to estimate what the subsidy will be.
Right.
And we planned on 147. So okay. That gets transferred whether or not we need it all.
So the question is it sitting in a cash account because we haven't
used it? So fund balance has increased by 110,000.
Wow.
As you can, because of its needs, what was the plan subsidy?
That's really good news. So we actually have the cash sitting in that account. Okay, so are we budgeting less this next year because that money is sitting there? Are we going to have less? Because I'm still showing next year we're budgeting for a large chunk of money going in there. Are we going to keep building the cash in the golf fund, pulling it in from other funds?
I don't see any expectations.
I don't see any need to keep building that fund and pulling from other funds.
No, we watch the percentage and see how it is unrestricted versus the revenues. Mm-hmm. You want ideally to have about 5% at least in a special revenue fund, and I think we're finally there. We've never been there before, so I think we're in a good place right now. If it got up to like 10-15, then we'd say, hey, we can maybe do a little, or I don't think we'd budget less. What we do is transfer it to another fund that can use it.
So, but those would net out, and in my analysis, I would show those as cash in, cash out. I would show less investment in that fund because someone. How about debt? Has debt gone up in relation to any equipment or anything during the year? Like the motor pool fund debt.
The only debt that we have is the bond. Mm-hmm.
Can I discuss cash is king and the bond for a second here?
Yeah.
Cash is king in a pawn shop, but it's not in this case. And let me throw this out, and while we have experts that can help, we have an asset, right, which is the golf course, and that we've taken out a bond for that asset, which is the equivalent of really a mortgage, right? And so we took out a bond and we bought the golf course. We built it on top of land that was gifted to the city in order because we took over the golf course. So we own outright with no debt the land under the golf course. It's ours. But the actual bond is just for the golf course sitting on top. So if you go in then and you scrape the golf course off the top of that ground, right, it's done. We're going to do something else with it. You still have the debt. You have the mortgage. But you've just destroyed the asset, just destroyed it. So now the net worth of the city just went. Then there's more. Then you go in and you take the land that's underneath that golf course now that we own. It's our land. And then we sell it and get rid of it to other people. We just get rid of the land. They build buildings, whatever. And then we go down to the land that's unusable and we put parks on it, which are just cost, 100%. So now you've taken your other asset, which is your land, and you've just thrown it out. Now, cash is king, but your net worth. If they say all the time, well, make a good business decision. But I cannot see, especially for a government, to make that kind of decision in the light of the fact that your mortgage becomes less relevant every year. I mean, we've all seen houses where families are paying $500 a month on a mortgage because they've gone the 30 years. And they've had this mortgage, and now it's this little payment because inflation goes up. It just sits there, becomes less relevant every year, but the land that's sitting underneath that increases every year. The asset increases in value, the house increases in value, the mortgage service goes down. So if we do this, if you want to say this is just a fantastic business decision, we're going to go in there, we're going to shut this thing down, you have to recognize that you're taking a perfectly intact, valuable asset and absolutely destroying it and then selling the land underneath it in order to handle a debt service that has a 20-year runway with to a city that's baby time. I mean, we're talking a city that's going to be around for as long as eternity. It isn't like it's a person or someone who's getting old or preparing for retirement. We're talking about a city. And so that problem is a shrinking problem. And that's why, to me, those who are really interested and excited about tearing down the golf course, they have to do it now. They have to do it now. Because next year, it's less relevant and less relevant and less relevant. And it's been that way. When it was first discussed years ago, it was more relevant. But without a doubt, if you look at the numbers, land value has increased, the mortgage has gone down, the revenues have come up. I mean, all of those numbers are getting better and better every year. And that excitement about tearing that down and starting something else, then you're replacing it with a liability. You know, you've got a park you can't do anything else with. You can't build a house on it. Can't do anything. All you're doing is creating a liability that now is just going to cost you the $150,000, according to your numbers, and I think it's way underinflated, but it's going to cost you that $150,000 a year, and we do all of this in order to get rid of a bond that's becoming less relevant every year. I don't see that is a wise business decision. And to say, well, it's cash in and cash out, but that is not the case. No one lives that way. You live by your net worth. Businesses don't live by cash in and cash out unless they're completely unsophisticated. Any business has got to handle its debt service in order to maximize its net worth, and that's what it does. Now, am I wrong?
Yes.
Am I wrong? No. Someone who knows something, tell me that I'm wrong.
Here's what I'll tell you.
Please.
From a resident's perspective, from this resident's perspective, I don't know about other residents, I look at, I'm putting $500,000 into this.
Okay.
And I will for the next 20 years.
But it's not an expense, right?
Right.
You can say that you're expensing $500,000, but you're not expensing.
Right.
You're paying on an asset. It's like saying, my house cost me blank. Mm-hmm. And if you just say, oh, it's a cash, it's an expense, it's like saying you bought popsicles and just consumed them.
Okay.
And you can't say that.
And your net worth goes up with every payment that's made.
Every payment that's made. So you can, if you want to talk about this, then talk about the interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about interest and talk about that. But if you're going to frame this intelligently and make a really good decision, you have to separate an asset from an expense. So go ahead and talk about tax or interest. But just to say, oh, well, it's cash. Well, that's just silly.
Okay.
It isn't.
So from a resident's perspective, back to what I was saying, this resident's perspective, I put in $500,000, I get a golf course for the next 20 years, and it could go down to $400,000 on the good years. Charles was backing me up in the $200,000 for the expenditures, and then there's the debt that we know isn't going to change unless we sell some land, which we're going to get run into the same issues. Can we sell the St. Andrews Estates or not? The same exact issues go to that question as can we sell it a few plots somewhere else.
But can we stop at St. Andrews Estates
since
you brought it up and say, okay, well, we have St. Andrews Estates, which I mean, hopefully the idea is to sell it for about $3 million is the idea.
Uh-huh.
And so if we're talking about all those lots get sold for $3 million and they go down to the debt service, then we're talking about something that becomes even more irrelevant. And don't we own more property? Isn't there more lots that we own as well?
Cottonwood.
Cottonwood. And so there's more land that we can sell.
Right.
And the economy is flying right now and they're building like crazy. And if we just are patient for 5 years, 6 years, 1 year, who knows what it is, that value of that land is going to increase along with the value of the land under the golf course. And we may even be able to pay completely off that debt service to sit and just say, oh, well, for the next 20 years, we're going to pay. That's unrealistic,
that's
too.
That's why I was just saying that.
Okay, well,
that's why I brought up St. Andrews. So if you'll let me finish. Actually,
please,
can I finish
ahead.
My thought?
You may.
I keep trying to get to a thought here. Okay, me as a resident, I pay $500,000 until we sell something off, which is really part of my suggestion is selling some off, maybe selling a little more off than that is. But anyway, $500,000 a year until something changes and I get the golf course. I believe it's going to be a lot less than $500,000 a year for the proposal that I'm putting together. And I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying that I like choices. I like to say, do we want to do this or do we want to do that?
I don't like bad choices.
Right. I don't like bad choices either, and neither will the residents. If it's a bad choice, it'll get shot down. And when it gets shot down, if it does, then I crawl into my hole and I'm done. And I feel like I've accomplished something in that I have presented the very best thing I can with the help of whoever wants to help me out, and it got shot down by the residents. We've done our job as a council, looking at the best option there is, and I'm probably the biggest golf course fan there is out there, and I'll take my boys golfing all the time, which I already do, but I will do it more. So anyway,
we'll discuss that in a sec. Go ahead.
One of the terms that's been used is asset. Okay. It's a little disconcerting to talk about an asset when it's perpetually losing somebody. Usually when we think about assets, we think about something that is going to increase, you know, the cash flow. But in this case, we're looking at something that in perpetuity will most likely continue to cost us money. So is it an asset? Yes, but got a bit of a poison pill to it.
There isn't an asset the city owns that doesn't have that same poison. I think that's what we talked about. What's the mayor's point? The city isn't a business. You know, and like I say, the federal government, you don't want the federal government building a park here, right? But if we wanted to be perfectly good, we could just take that whole top and just turn it into a gravel pit, just like they did at the mouth of Merrifield Canyon, which is a mess. And we could just turn that into a gravel pit, and we would be so fiscally responsible, and we would make tons of money as a city, and we could cut our taxes way down, but nobody wants to live by a gravel pit. And then, you know, then turn into a landfill after that. And, you know, this is the idea is that, it's a city thing. It's going to cost money. And what we're talking about here is costing money, too. But anyway, that's fine.
That's a good point. Thank
you. All right. Yeah.
I feel like 10 years ago, you know, was the point where we had the choice as to whether or not we want golf. And you know, I was probably one of the most adamant people in opposition to this golf course. And I knocked on doors. I tried to get people sign petitions. And I did everything I could, you know. But the vote didn't go that way. So now we have this bond, and we have this commitment. And we kind of have to see whether or not we can make a go of what we've got. It would be Rob's suggestion of changing what we have. I almost feel as though we're doing two things that are parallel and they're not really intersecting. Because if we stay with the golf course and we keep our golf course, we're not having nearly as much fun as they are. If we keep this golf course, then we have to accept the fact that golf courses are going to cost cities money, like all recreational assets and whatever for cities do. They all cost money. So if we keep it, then we have to recognize that if it costs us a couple $100,000 or $400,000 whatever a year, that's what it's going to be, and we have to be willing to swallow that and say, as residents, that's worth it in terms of the value that we get as citizens from having a golf course and from having that recreational opportunity for us and bringing other people into our city to do recreational things as well. I mean, we just have to accept that that's the cost of doing business. On the other hand, if we decide, no, that is not something we want to do, and we're going to go into a different direction and do other park-type things with the land and sell off some and so on, then we have to also, as a city, accept the fact that we are offering a lesser recreational opportunity, which I am absolutely convinced that the citizens of Cedar Hills are not going to sit by and say, I want no recreational opportunity. Especially if we get rid of the golf course, I know that the beat of the drum is going to be that we've got to have an aquatic center, we've got to have a swimming pool, we've got to have a splash pad, we have to have a library, because citizens demand some kinds of services from their city and for recreation. So I don't think that if we get rid of the golf course and develop the land differently, that we're then simply going to not have to invest anything else that might be financially lost to us in terms of recreation for citizens. So
at a minimum, parks.
But I think if we consider that, we have to think, well, what will the debt service be on building an aquatic center? Absolutely. I don't think, like I say, that we're going to just simply be neutral.
That's right. We've got to compare two alternatives and look at all the costs for both of them and make it a fair comparison.
I think that's right.
Well, not only that, though. Remember, we talked about this 3 weeks ago when we met. We have to look at it financially, but we also have to look at it legally. And one of the things that we were going to do tonight, I think, was to try to figure out what things needed to go to council to figure out if it's even viable.
There's a third
thing. Because I don't want to meet for 6 months if something's not even viable. I want to get it out and get it done.
Great. There's a third thing too, emotionally. there's, you know, there's financially, there's legally, but also what is it the citizens want? Maybe you'll more want the golf course, maybe more don't. But that's definitely...
I think we all have said we want the citizens to be able to make decisions based on good information.
Right.
And it's really, you know, we've been down this road a lot, and a lot of this, the failed golf course is costing the city money. You know, there are people who feel like the city is in the red. The city is financially unstable, that we are losing money, we've got this money pit. The truth is, it's within reason of a city. I mean, I think if you compare our finances to any other city, we're not blowing budgets here. We're talking about fiscally conservative city that provides whatever services may be. And at best, we're talking about swapping angry people. Angry people A become happy, and happy people B become angry. And then we're looking at it and saying, well, I think I can do a bunch of things that might be fun at a little better price. I think we can shave a little money here. But that said, there are some costs that we lose. We have to pay off this debt by selling off our assets, our land. You know, we have to do that. We're gonna be poorer as a city when this is done. But I think we can shave some monthly expenses off, so we'll be a little bit more financially responsible than we were before. That is until we build the aquatic center. You know, or whatever else is on this land that somebody else wants to do three city councils down the road. And so I'm not looking at this. I feel like the debate is too easily framed, this gigantic sucking red hole money pit or green financial freedom. Those are the two choices that we have. And the absolute facts are totally different. It isn't that. And it takes a little thought. It isn't, you can't just say, hey, the failed golf course is losing money. What do you want to do? Well, gosh, I want to get rid of it then.
We got a lot of smart people on this committee. We can sort that out.
But you know what, though? On this committee, we'll sort that out.
Right.
And there are some interested parties who will sort that out.
Right.
But there are a lot of people who will not sort that out. And so they're going to need better information, and they're going to need it to be articulated. And it's not just simple concepts. You can say cash is king, but cash is certainly not king. I mean, it's king when you're in the apocalypse. I guess it's king. But in other cases, and in business,
taxpayers sometimes think it is too. They don't.
Well, you know what? What happens if you hold onto your cash until the tax season comes? All of a sudden, the tax man comes and takes all your money away. Where you have to, as quickly as you can, get rid of your cash and buy as many assets as you can. I mean, in any business decision, cash is not king. It is ridiculous to even try to assert that as a reason for making this kind of anyway. I'm not going to pour too hard on that. To me, it doesn't resonate in a business sense. I don't look at that
really
and say that makes sense to me.
I think a lot of investors have said that to me over the years, and they're pretty smart people.
They want your cash.
And I would say, I don't think there's anything that's been proposed to be put on that land that's going to create cash. It's going to be profitable. Am I wrong? You're going to subsidize
I show on here that I've got a five-minute presentation.
It's going. You know what? Let's get there.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. You know,
just make one comment.
Please, go ahead, Greg.
I think the mayor touched upon it. Rob even mentioned it. Rob, you mentioned that the residents should vote on it. They did already. It's already been voted on.
Bad information.
But it's been voted on. I mean, are we going to change in 10 years and do this again?
Because people were perceived that that information was put out now.
Right.
I think I'm just trying to simplify this because it just seems like every 2 years, every 4 years, this comes up. 2 years ago, we spent a lot of time as a committee putting the numbers together in a way that we could put it out to the public, right? And we had a public meeting, we put it out there. We took a lot of time trying to come up with creative ways to make things better going forward.
Right.
2 years later, things are trending in the right direction. I think we need to look at that. I think that's important because I'm just going to say it. I'm just tired of it over and over again coming up, things that happened 15 years ago. The bottom line is we put a lot of work into this 2 years ago, and you were on it.
Right.
And I thought it was a positive.
Right. We accomplished our goals. And 2 years later, we're
where we hoped we would be, I think.
I think so, too.
We put out a lot of fires after the last time. I mean, we had a lot to overcome. We're in the same position again.
Well, it's interesting.
We're losing season pass holders. I hear it every day.
I heard Rob specifically, you say last time we did this, the best thing for us to do financially is to stay the course, keep things going, and see how we're doing. Absolutely. Last time we did this. And
everything, I believe that.
It was true. Everything that we had hoped for as a committee, that we had planned for, was exceeded. I mean, those expectations were met and exceeded. And so I'm looking now going, okay, well, what's the motivation for, and it is an imbalanced picture. This is not a picture that discusses assets at all. It's just a picture that just says, blah, 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 this, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And now I'm wondering what happened now, where I'd say, well, that was the best financial decision we can make, and now we're looking at it saying, well, maybe not. I know it's an election year. I know there's different things, and we want to represent folks. But at the same time, I'm just wondering what the motivation was, what the impetus was for you to change your opinion specifically from, I think the best thing to do is stay the course and watch our financial future get better and better every year. Or now it's like, well, and I'll tell you where my prejudices are. I'll tell you where my prejudice is.
Are you asking me a question?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this first. You can say, my prejudice is not golf. I could care less whether we have a golf course here. Mm-hmm. But I love the city. And I don't feel like it needs to be torn down and rebuilt. And for me to have that, if we were in financially in the red, if we were suffering and struggling, then I would be absolutely on board for doing this. Sell off the land, get rid of our assets, pay ourselves down, get our hunker down, and get through our bad situation. I don't see any of that. I don't see any big red flags. I see everything we're doing better, and I'm just wondering why now? What's the next? What happened between then and now?
Okay, so starting from Chandler's comment, yes, we had a vote 10 years ago. It was right after the city council and mayor put out something saying that it was going to be $150,000 profit per year, and it was that was right before the vote that was put out there. If I'm a business owner and I decide to have a business and I think it's going to make $150,000 profit per year, and instead it requires cash of $550,000 per year, which really I am a small percentage holder of this, after 10 years especially, I'm going to want to relook and rethink that decision. In fact, if it was my business, I would have rethought it the first or second year. Last time when we met, there were still arguments about whether it's making money or losing money. That was the most important thing to resolve that time. We didn't have time as a committee to even think of other options. We just had to establish, is this thing making money or not, and give that time to settle in. Yes, I believe it has improved. I believe we had some good improvements, but still it is costing the city money. And after 10 years, I think it was 54 to 46, even with the expectation to make $150,000. That doesn't give me much comfort that the residents would have voted for it had they known it was going to take as much investment as it has. And this is a business. I mean, we're a city. I don't believe we should get into the business of business very often, but we have with this golf course, which means we have to make business decisions occasionally. And this is a tough business decision for me to look at this because I know it's hard and it's painful. But as a business owner, as a resident, as an investor in this golf course through my taxes, I think it's important to look at this point. That's how I feel.
I agree with that. But going back to what I first said when we started, we've got to find out the legal ramifications first.
Absolutely.
Which is what we'll do in the next slide.
Absolutely.
I was just going to say, no, the legal ramifications are definitely something that has to be considered. So with that in mind, my concern is, are we spending a lot of time arguing over whether we want to even see what the options are, or options?
Oh, this we're not going to do. In this meeting, there's no way we're going to get to options. I mean, all we can do now, and we'll go through what the rest is going to be. We'll give Rob his presentation, and then the next thing we're going to do is discuss what information we need to know going forward. There's no way we're going to start speculating on what we're going to do with the land if we decide to close the golf course until we even know what all, you know, we've got to look at a lot of things. So I think as a city, we need to decide next what documents we should be looking, poring over, who we should call into the committee to discuss. We should, you know, this is what we have to do going forward. This is not going to be unless you want it to be that. If you want it to be just a quick debate on the golf course and be done, because all it needs is a cursory discussion. But if you want to have a real plan going forward, then we need to know exactly what we're running into, if it's a buzzsaw or not.
And I think we decided 3 weeks ago that we would take whatever time was needed to dissect this like we did before, so that when we're done with this, we have left no stone unturned.
Okay, Rob, why don't you go ahead and take your time, give us your presentation, and we'll discuss.
Okay, five minutes, it might be less than that. Okay, and this is something that I've already talked about with the committee, but I think it's important to get out to everybody. So in order for this to even be a real good exercise, there's no point in doing it unless we compare a plan A to a plan B. I mean, if there's only plan A, let's just look at making it better, which is a very important part of this discussion. I think that we need to, you know, that's the next thing on the agenda, I think, for next time, is how do we make plan A better? How do we make the golf course even better? I don't know for sure, but I think that might be. But plan B is important, and so I've been drafting for the last well, on the very little free time I've had, I've drafted a little bit about Plan B, and the message goes like this. For those that are new to the discussion, I will get you up to speed. The golf course has continued to be a topic of strong disagreement between residents. My goal and responsibility as a city council member is to look at all options to see if there are any good alternatives. The Golf Course Finance Committee is again meeting to discuss, first, how to reduce the losses of the golf course, Plan A. Second, if there's another option that is preferable to keeping the golf course, Plan B. My part in this is helping to develop an alternative to keeping the golf course that is the best possible alternative. Finally, the Golf Course Finance Committee will issue their recommendation on whether to use the ideas from the first part of our meetings and continue with the golf course, or to move to the second option. Hopefully, in the end, if we keep the golf course, those that are against it will be satisfied that we have looked closely at all options and determined that continuing with the golf course is the best option, and will be satisfied accepting our higher taxes to subsidize the golf course. If we don't keep the golf course, hopefully it will be because we have found a better option for our city. Either way, we are in a better position after having this exercise. If it is unclear which way is better, then I suggest surveys or a citizen vote to resolve the issue. To further develop Plan B, in preparation for the next open meeting on August 6th, this was meant to go out earlier, but I've had a very busy couple weeks, I will continue to look at what would be done with the golf course land if we pursue Plan B. Following are some highlights from Plan B as conceived so far. Holes 13, 14, and 15 would be sold or developed, which is St. Andrews plus a little more. To maintain a good amount of open space, large lots would be sold to be determined by the City Council and be zoned appropriately. I would suggest no less than 0.5 acre lots to be zoned here, and probably on all golf course lots. It is hopeful that developing this area would pay off the golf course debt. Whether we keep the golf course or not, some of this area will probably be developed as the city has set aside approximately 10 acres for development to help pay off the golf course debt. Holes 11, 12, 16, and 17 are the ones that are on the southeast side of the Cedars. They border the Cedars Wagon Wheel development. I would recommend that the residents of the Cedars determine if they would like to sell a small amount of land in 0.5 acre lots in order to pay for the development of these areas for parks. Parks generally cost $300,000 to $700,000 or more, depending on what you put in them, to develop, depending on how much parking, how nice the playground equipment, if there will be additional items such as basketball courts, tennis courts, volleyball areas, etc. The residents in these areas through town meetings would participate in the decision-making process for these parks. The residents directly bordering these areas would be given a few extra feet of land out there for that was golf course area to ensure that no reduction in property values for those directly bordering the golf course land occurred. Hole 18 in the driving range, which is right by the city building, these would be a similar concept as the previously mentioned holes. However, the city, with input from the residents, would decide how much to develop in order to make the most of the open space. At a minimum, a beautiful park and maybe a splash pad or something is what I would recommend. Some may suggest selling a few more lots and having a swimming pool in addition to the park. Hole 10, which is down just right at the canyon, at the mouth of the canyon, could be converted into a cemetery. There's been a lot of requests for Cedar Hills, for a Cedar Hills cemetery. The largest cost for most cemeteries is the cost of the land. The cost would be minimal for conversion to a cemetery, and it would be self-sustained based on plot sales revenue, based on my research, after we paid for a little bit of improvement, and the land wouldn't require any cash outflow at this point. Holes 1 through 9 are all in Highland City and do not directly border any Cedar Hills homes. Because this area is not in Cedar Hills, it would not make sense to spend money beautifying this area or developing parks. I would suggest that we put this area up for sale. Highland City is motivated to keep a good amount of green space in this area and not develop it too much, so the price per acre would not be extremely high, but the area is over 60 acres, and even a modest price of $50,000 per acre would give the city $3 million to pay off more debt or use towards other types of activities, recreation that someone may want. Whatever decision for this area should be self-sustaining financially, as it is not in Cedar Hill City. These are some initial thoughts and ideas for these areas. The committee will be getting feedback from our attorney regarding any adjustments to this plan that would be needed in order to do this legally. The plan will be adjusted as feedback is obtained from residents or our legal department. As the committee will resume meeting tonight at 8 in the Recreation Center. And that's where I ended. I was going to suggest we get more feedback, but I will reiterate, this is just from talking to residents, this is just from what I've gathered as the best option with those that I've talked to could come up with. Far from perfect. I'm sure it's got a lot of holes that you guys can poke holes into, but my goal is over the next few weeks to make sure that the best option is presented as an option, and then we really analyze the heck out of it financially, legally, every aspect we can throw at it, and hopefully come up with some direction. Thanks.
I have a question. Yeah. And so I want to talk about the Highland land, because I went to Highland City about a year ago. So the holes that are in Highland City, the land's owned by Cedar Hills. So I wanted to talk to Highland about boundary adjusting that, because it's our land. And so they showed zero interest, and their thought was that they want it maintained as either a golf course or green space.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame them.
What's that?
I don't blame them.
Yeah, and so my question is, why would Highland want to buy land from us?
I wasn't suggesting Highland buy.
Oh, because it looks like in what you were just saying.
I just said put it up for sale.
To who?
Do an RFP.
It's a floodplain, so you can't build homes there. Mm-hmm.
A lot of American Fork is a floodplain. I looked at the floodplain. It goes right along the river where all those nice homes are right across the river. I just went to Chicago where I went right through the middle of town on the river where it was bordered by huge buildings on either side.
So let's just assume for argument's sake. Mm-hmm. That that's not a floodplain. Mm-hmm. Highland's big opposition to that was they don't want any homes built there. Mm-hmm. They will never allow homes to be built there.
They want us to pay all the money to make nice green space in their town.
Well,
that's what they want.
They don't want to buy it, mm-hmm. and they don't want any homes to ever be built on it.
That's probably true. They like that we're spending money beautifying their city. They like that.
So mm-hmm. so that's one area that I'd maybe rethink if I were you, just because Highland's not going to pay for it.
Can I say one more thing about it, too? The cost of the things you're discussing in there, and you say they could be this much or they could be more. They could be a lot more. I mean, what you're saying is you're saying, I presented ideas to the citizens of what kind of wonderful things would you like to have in this area. And we can all daydream about wonderful things in these areas. And when you say a park, I mean, you can make a really shabby park and a really ugly, dumb park, but if you're talking about, you're planting trees, you're putting bathrooms, you're talking about paths, you're talking about, I mean, splash pads, you're talking about possibly an aquatic center, you're talking about things, you're just basically, I guess what I want to be on record as, I think it's been, the discussion has been the financial cesspool that is the golf course needs to be shut down. But it sounds to me like we're just trading one financial deep black hole for another one. And so the question of this committee needs to be, are we going to the city and are we saying, would you prefer to pay for something else other than a golf course? You really can't go to the city and say, it's a financial disaster and a crisis, and it's a millstone around our neck, and we should close it down, and we'd all have free parks when that's done. And that's the problem. And that is because the weight of the argument against the golf course, this is not the first day that we've discussed the golf course problems, right? The weight of the discussion of the golf course has been, well, the failed golf course in Cedar Hills is a disaster financially. But we're talking about trading one expense for another. Am I wrong?
No. I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's absolutely right. One expense for another, and do the residents.
And maybe you like it
that's
better.
That's why I'm not even saying okay. that.
But
I'm
at the same time, you're ripping the heart out of
forward the argument that Rick was trying to explain that it's a financial crisis for the city right
Who
now.
Who says that?
Well, that's the perception out there.
Okay, I'm not saying that, and I've never.
Would you get on Facebook and state that?
Yes.
Would you get on Facebook and state that the things I'm proposing will not save the city money? They will not save the city money.
I don't know that yet.
Possibly could not save the city money.
So you're telling me to get to the conclusion of our
well, that's
committee.
What the problem is the Facebook posts have been a conclusion. And that's what everybody sees is the conclusion. If you say, well, we could have an aquatic park, we could have the splash pads, we could have this,
I will say,
that's the wish list that's going on
I will
in people's
say,
mindset.
I don't
awesome.
Know if it's the right decision to make. And I think I've said that every time. And I feel that way. I don't know even if I would vote for what I just presented.
But it feels like advocacy. When I read the Facebook post, I'm going, Rob Crawley is advocating for shutting down the golf course and doing X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. Because the golf course is losing money. because cash is king, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you cannot make that argument. You have to be clear about the argument that is, no, all of these things are going to cost money. And which I think is desperately missing from this, we are going to sink assets. We are going to take assets and net worth, and we're going to lose land, and we're going to lose assets.
Tell me this. Would someone buy it as a golf course over buying it to develop some property? So am I really sinking an asset?
Yes, you're sinking an asset.
We've never gotten any offers from the golf course.
Is there anybody who's making offers to buy the golf course?
No.
We've asked for offers before, and we haven't gotten any. So
there was one. $1.5 million years ago, and it was just too low.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So I would like to make a proposal. Somebody wants a second in there. But what my proposal would be is that I want to discuss Rob's proposal. But I don't want to discuss Rob's proposal until we have legal opinion about the proposal or the possibilities. And I think we ought to adjourn the meeting until the next meeting, when we can have legal input about all of the things that he's talked about. Because if every single proposal he has is completely within the city's power to accomplish, then we can go forward with the discussion of those things. But if some of them or all of the things he's proposed are completely unable to be chosen, then we have to find an alternative C or D if we're looking for another alternative.
We scrap that one entirely.
But I think we're spinning our wheels just talking and talking about something that we don't even know whether we can really do it.
I agree.
So I would like to propose that.
I agree with that. But before we close the meeting, I would say this. Let's get an idea of some information that we need to collect
before
the next meeting. Okay. Well, yeah, I would say, for instance, I think we need to see the development plan and what we you have that?
I have it.
Can I just go over that real fast?
Yes, please.
I think when it comes down to the legal aspect of what can we do on the golf course, a lot of it revolves around the fact that the golf course itself lies in what's called a conservation easement. And that was made perpetually. There's not a sunset date on it. And getting out of the conservation easement is not a simple vote by the citizens. I think it's a little more complicated.
How much land is under there?
Everything that's in the golf course. Okay. Now the Highland portion, all 100 acres that's in Cedar Hills is in a conservation easement. 50 acres that's in Highland is not in a conservation easement that I can find, but I do have a copy of every easement that lies through there. Just about every utility company that exists in this area has a claim on that land down there. So I think developing that land down there is highly improbable, not to mention expensive, just because of the way the layout is. So I think that we need to look at a legal opinion on city's current the current conservation easement that was agreed upon in the development agreement. You can see it in the development agreement. I believe it's Exhibit I. I would suggest go reading that and go reading the first couple pages of the development agreement, because it talks about density. I think that there's possible legal challenges to the city if the city were to grant density on land that it took density from a developer.
Can we get a PDF of Exhibit I?
Yes.
Thank you.
Please.
And I have two questions for you. One is, how did we get past that with the St. Andrews Estates?
It's left over. It's not added density. There are 725 units left. There are 725 units for the Cedars development. That's Cedars West and Cedars East. The St. Andrews piece is the remainder of that density. It's not adding any densities.
But, I mean, it was part of what had the conservation easement. Like, they didn't carve out and say, this section doesn't have the conservation easement.
You could pick a different section if you want to, Rob, but you can only put how many homes? That's what
I think it's like 15.
Now,
anybody in here own a black Kia?
Me.
Somebody from the wedding
concert. Oh. Oh, darn, we're getting some good information.
Yeah, they really party hard up.
So I think can we make a list of clear questions for the attorney? Because I don't want the attorney to have vague questions that's going to take a lot of money.
Can we put those in an email and just get them all together, everybody agree on what those questions are, and let him answer. Now, so just before you go, I guess, so what you're saying is we have a certain amount of density that we can have, right? So many houses we can build. It doesn't matter whether it's on St. Andrews Estates or in a different portion, but that's all we can build.
It's not so much even that it's 725 units throughout the whole development. It's broken down, and you can see it in the development agreement. It's units by plat, too. It's not just wherever you want them.
So I would recommend going through the first, it's the first three pages of the development agreement, and then exhibit I. I'll email it out to
them. Please. And the interesting thing is the attorney's looked at all this, and he has told me that he doesn't see on the face right now that it's not something that we can get past. So he just got to explain that to us. Why? Because I've asked the attorney, he comes to our meetings, and I talk to him after the meetings and whatnot, and he's seen all these agreements, and he's saying to me he doesn't see something that can't be overcome. But it'd be better if the committee asks him some direct questions and he answers directly.
Well, maybe one of the questions we ask is if we want to overcome these, what do we do?
Right.
Exactly. So Mr. Chairman, I spoke with the current and former city attorneys. They're both willing to come and answer any questions, make presentations based on questions that are submitted to them in advance in order to make it really productive.
Okay.
So possibly we can send questions to you.
Would you do that? Would you think them through, and then we can throw them out and vet them that way, and then everybody's good. We get them out to the attorneys, and we're done.
Sounds great.
Yep. All right. And then aren't there some CC&Rs also we should be looking at from the actual from the Cedars? Don't they have some rules and restrictions? And I've heard that there are some issues there.
I've heard that too, but I had never seen it.
Well, let's see them. We need to find them. Who do we talk to get those? Do you think?
Who's in Cedars? Did you say it was a champ?
Chandler.
Let's have Chandler give those to all of us, because okay. I think that'd be good for all of us to know.
So, okay, we'll do that. Okay. All right, well, this has been a spirited discussion. And,
but productive.
And we'll have another one or two of those, and then we'll make good decisions. All right, thank you, everybody, for your time.
Oh, please.
I propose that if someone knows what I can do. Awesome. That sounds great. All right, let's adjourn.
Take a vote is what you need to do.
Now we vote.
All right, would everybody like to adjourn?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Yeah, remove the chairman.
Next Thursday.
We need to
meet
up here.
We'll get it. Sure. And thank you. This is where we're meeting each time, right?
Probably. If the open upstairs is open, we'll meet it there. There's something going on.
There's your one legal option.
Well, I will say this, we've almost